Every little thing she does is magic. It's 8 minutes past 3 o'clock on a Tuesday afternoon, and my very special guest for this segment of the show is MEC for Finance in KZN, Francois Rogers. It's lovely to have you back in the studio. Francois, the last time we had the privilege, you were feeling particularly under the weather, but it was good that you were here, because we kind of, you know, we're like old friends now. So welcome to you again, and congratulations on your appointment as MEC for Finance for the province of KwaZulu-Natal. You know what? I'm just going to kind of launch straight in, because I thought it would be an opportunity to ask some serious questions instead of the social stuff that we generally fly around with on this kind of show. But let's get straight into it. I mean, MEC for Finance, it's all about the money, right? The money. Everyone wants to know what's happening with the money. So let's talk about it. What are the key priorities for the current budget in our beloved province?
Good afternoon, Dave, and good afternoon to your listeners. Always good to be here. Indeed, I wasn't well last time, but I did support your economy. I had to go and see one of your local doctors.
Oh, that's a dangerous thing to do. And you survived. Well done.
And she was remarkable. She got me back to health, so it's good to be here. And it is a daunting task being in charge of a treasury where resources are quite limited when it comes to finance. But our key priorities need to remain dealing with issues such as inequality and poverty, job creation, building a sustainable economy, and service delivery, you know, yeah, that works. Those are my key priorities in Treasury.
Okay. A lot of business-minded entrepreneurs will say, you know, the last thing you want to hear from government is that they're going to help create economic activity, because quite clearly the best way for government to create economic activity is to stay right out of the picture and just simply enable the free flow of enterprise to flourish. So, you know, let's talk about how does the provincial treasury plan to address financial challenges, and particularly faced by municipalities, because we hear stories of, well, shall we say, even locally in our beloved region and local municipal circles, we hear stories of peculiar, wasteful expenditure, fruitless expenditure. It must be a huge concern, because ours is supposedly one of the better municipalities in the province.
Dave, I couldn't agree with you more, firstly. I'm a capitalist, I'm a businessman, and a politician second. And capitalists create jobs, not government. Government's job is to create an environment where capitalism can thrive and employ people. And this is one of the reasons why, and we realize we're in tight fiscal times at the moment, but we need industry and commerce to become our partners. And that is why we're busy formulating a public-private partnership document, which we can then look at engaging and getting the industry and the captains of commerce and that to join us. But the reality is, business is not a fool. Business is not going to give government money when it knows government chows the money. Mm. So we've got to create a capable and ethical state to encourage that. And I think in the 4 months I've been here, I've exposed some of the most horrendous, and I call it obscene, expenditure, as you were saying, just in provincial government. I mean, the obscenity of the wasteful expenditure is, it's not even an iota of what I expected in the opposition. It's just worse. Wow. And it's got to be cleaned up, and that's my job. You know, the Premier of the province talks about building a capable and ethical state. Well, if I have to expose wasteful, fruitless and wasteful expenditure and corruption, then that's part of my responsibility to create an ethical state. Because an ethical state doesn't spend enormous amount. It doesn't spend 16 million rand in 4 months on 11 vehicles for MECs in the province.
Wow. Now, you talk about exposing, and I think your track record so far has been very good, as indeed have many of your colleagues. Some not so good, but, you know, that's another story. Lots has been exposed, but, you know, there's an old adage about justice doesn't just need to be done. It needs to be seen to be done. And so far, there doesn't seem to be much repercussion, or certainly there don't seem to be too many cases. And I read recently, was it even this morning, Shamila Batoi saying from the NPA's perspective, we can't prosecute to get rid of corruption. I mean, you can try, but it's not going to be effective. It needs to start somewhere else. So, I mean, that's the task. Where do you start?
So, Dave, I have powers as the treasurer of the province, and I have enormous powers in terms of the Provincial Finance Management Act, what we call the PFMA, particularly Section 18. So just 2 weeks ago, I introduced to Cabinet an instruction note, which is on cost cutting. It is a instruction. Now, that means that all MECs and all departments have to comply with the issues contained in there. The Auditor General now starts playing a role in that instruction, and as do I. And if there is non-compliance, Section 18.2F of the PFMA allows me to charge officials who are non-compliant, and also should matters really escalate, I can actually, through Treasury, we can take over the financial management of departments. And that's what it's going to take, exactly what you're saying. So if the cost containment instruction is not complied with, and there's an official who signed off an expenditure unauthorized, then pass up.
Does this now extend to all levels of local government, or is this simply at the top of the tree in the province?
Unfortunately, my mandate is the provincial government,
okay,
and those departments. Although when it comes to local government, I do have some authority in non-compliant, fiscally non-compliant municipalities where we can intervene, and we can also put a treasury team in place, both myself and the National Minister of Finance. And I think you're right. You know, local government is where the rubber hits the road, and it's also where there are enormous challenges and wasteful expenditure. And it's something that both the National Minister and I have been talking about.
It's very interesting at this juncture to be hearing what really is music to the ears, I think, of any sensible person looking to invest in the local economy. The North Coast is obviously our focus area here with this radio station and our media company. And we see tremendous potential and tremendous interest. And yet there is a caveat. There is a large caveat that our local government of national unity is under threat, because there seems to be a move afoot to disrupt it. How real is that? I'm talking politically now.
It's very real.
Yeah.
It is very real. You know, the opposition benches are now full of politicians that want to govern. They have all the solutions to the problems. Although, you know, at the time, their leader, who lives just down the road from you here, Jacob Zuma, you know, our demise started under his reign. You know, he was the architect of our misery. State-owned entities were collapsing. We were bailing them out. The province was suffering from unfunded mandates from Zuma that we had to pay the Isinduna and the Amakosi. So quite what the MK think the solution is, other than, of course, we hear dispose of the constitution, you know, parliament must become the sole law in the country, you know, we don't need a judiciary, and send teenagers to Robben Island that are pregnant.
You know, the frightening thing is that I follow as much, I read as broadly as I can to try and get a handle on what's happening, politically particularly, and it would appear that certainly the sources that I'm able to engage with from MK's perspective believe that most of our problems stem from, shall we call it a cabal of formerly empowered, almost entirely white, Stellenbosch-based mafia. And, you know, one can I suppose, in a sense, it sounds like a fantasy. And yet they seem to be able to bring to the party little scraps of information and misinformation, whether it is or not. It would appear to be odd. You know, even to the point where they would tell you, the most recent video I saw was that, you know, Eskom, until recently, was doing pretty damn well. You know, we were not burning the diesel that anywhere near we were burning now. And we the lights were on. There was no load shedding. And it was under the leadership of those that were later defrocked and removed as a result of rampant corruption. And yet they're bringing them all back and lining them up to take over control of what seems to be working. The GNU, thank you, seems to be doing, and from a sentiment point of view, investment point of view, it all seems to be going in the right direction, but there is this threat, and you say it's a real one.
It's an absolute real threat, but we're aware of it, and this is why it's so important for the GNU and the GPU to succeed, particularly in the province of KwaZulu-Natal. Time is not on our side. We need to deliver, and we need to deliver in a constrained fiscal environment. Because if we fail, then, you know, the alternative is an MK-EFF aligned government. Although now Julius has declared war against Jacob Zuma, so one's not sure if the EFF in KZN are going to align themselves with the MK. I see you looking at me with...
No, it's interesting because it kind of rings a strange gong in my head when I was listening to Rob Hirsov explaining how, in his opinion, and in the opinion of many that follow the sort of Western capital democratic model, what we should do is secede, give KZN its independence, and that'll take away the entire threat, because it seems like the entire threat is concentrated here. What is your view to that?
Well, I suppose I'm part of the DA, which is a federal party, so but let me not talk about the Western Cape and what you've just said. But yeah, look. The reality is, it's a complex situation, but it's also a situation where I want to tell your listeners and yourself, Dave, and I was briefing the caucus this morning. It's quite a surreal environment in government. So our government's made up of the IFP, the ANC, and the DA, and the NFP. So there's no one party that has it all. We have to keep looking at each other. And we have to keep talking to each other before we actually implement any changes or spend any money, because otherwise you're going to have the partners in the GPU terribly unhappy. Now, in the past, this didn't happen. You had one party that was running the province of KwaZulu-Natal, and who was actually doing oversight inside that party? Uh-huh. Nobody. We're doing oversight over each other. And I think that, to me, is one of the benefits out of a government of provincial unity.
In your opinion, will the government of provincial unity hold together long enough for the wonderful initiatives that you're talking about to take effect?
We have to. There is no compromise. There can be no alternative. We have to make it work. And I think we realize that we have to make it work. The other interesting thing, Dave, is the government of provincial unity was formed long before the government of national unity. We were the leaders. KwaZulu-Natal was the leaders in governments of unity. The national unity only came about two or three weeks after we had. We had already started working with the IFP before the election. We had service delivery agreements, and we were trying to build a relationship. We didn't know that the ANC would totally implode and be part of it, but now they're part of it. And the arrogance that was displayed in the fifth and sixth term has left the ANC. They now realize they have to work together to save our province and to keep the MK out of power.
In the beginning of our conversation, you alluded to the fact that you'd identified a tremendous amount of wasteful expenditure at provincial government level, and you were acting against that, which is good news. One thing that many have indicated is hugely problematic in our political circles in this country of ours is that we have far too many employees at national and regional and local government even. Even in the USA, Elon Musk's been brought in by Donald Trump now to trim out the fat, so to speak, or those that have been cater deployed, to use a common parlance, into positions where they may not be particularly effective, and so they're buying them out, literally paying 2 years' salary, goodbye. And with the money that they're saving, they're going to be paying off the national debt. Any approach like that ring true with you, or does it ring a chord?
Absolutely. So let me give you a horrific statistic. Department of Education spends 93% of its entire budget on compensation of employees. 7% is left to run the department. That's how bad it is. But the reality is there, you have an organization like the South African Democratic Teachers Union that thinks it owns government. Well, perhaps it did when the ANC governed, but the ANC doesn't govern anymore. The government of provincial unity does. And it's an area we have to start, we have to address. So I agree with you. There are areas that are bloated. There are areas that are understaffed. And when we go into this budget process, which will be my first budget, this is something we're going to have to look at. I do know that on a national level, I form part of the budget council, and there is a program that's going to be coming out. I think it's 11 billion rand in the first year that's going to be spent on looking at early retirement packages and making it affordable for some people to leave government. But we've got to be strategic as to which positions we identify, so that we don't have a brain drain.
Ah, I'm so glad that you said that, because that was the next question. I've read extensively on the subject that we can't afford to lose the experience in the system. You know, you look back to my alma mater, the SABC, when change came, and I think it was good for change to come, but it was too radical. Mm. And all of the experience that was there was kind of lost because, well, it was time for change. Change is often a good thing if there is sufficient excellence left, redundant excellence, if you like, to build on, to train, to mentor, to develop. But if it's just let's get rid of the old guard, let's get rid of you're close to retirement, let's give you some money, off you go into the wide blue, that's wonderful. But what's left are these kids that are really, with the best will in the world, with a 30% pass rate now in matric, you can hardly expect the teaching fraternity now that's come through that system to be particularly good. That's a big problem. So how are you going to address that?
Which is why I'm saying this will be something that's controlled by National Treasury and then cascaded down to Provincial Treasury. And I think it's going to be a case of looking at where the pressures are on the numbers, and then identifying what we call gatekeepers and dead wood. Because let's be honest, we have some very productive 60-year-olds in government, but we also, on the other side, have some very unproductive 60-year-olds who actually contribute nothing, but are just waiting for the day to arrive when. Yeah. They can pack up their scuff tin and leave.
And apparently when it comes to the South African Police Service, there is a particularly huge problem in the fact that there are so many very high-ranking officers earning fortunes, many of whom are deployees that are absolutely counterproductive, and the morale of the force as a result has tanked. Is it possible to start cleaning out in those organizations as well?
Look, Dave, I wouldn't want to get involved in a sphere of government that I'm not au fait with. But I would imagine what we're doing at a provincial level, whether it be Department of Education, Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, whatever department, you could do exactly the same in national departments.
Well, it's certainly interesting to hear this kind of conversation coming from an MEC for finance. I'm impressed beyond words, and really impressed that you made time available to chat to us on the afternoon show on 88FM. My very special guest, Francois Rogers, MEC for finance. More strength to you and your team. I am, as I say, overwhelmed that you've taken the time, and really excited to watch your development going forward, because ultimately we all want the same thing. We want a brighter future in this beloved province and in this beloved country, and I think with good people at the helm, we've got a chance.
Amen. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you for joining me in the afternoon show. This will go up as a podcast very shortly, folks, so if you didn't hear the entire conversation, you'll be able to listen on demand and share the love. The afternoon show